24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked. Keep it locked. Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.
Profanity Nation. Yeah, it's the new era of man for some old school fans with a new school brand. We got money on the mic with the plan in hand. And Stat Pat to his left, they go hand in hand. And to the right, we got Simpster, he putting it down. It's the Profanity Nation, we running the town. Yeah,
it's the Profanity Nation.
Profanity Nation.
Welcome to the Profanity Nation podcast, where professional players deserve professional fans. We're joined here by Money Mike, Stat Pat. We have Z saying hello for a second, and we have a special guest tonight. Mike Andrade is back with us, and he's going to discuss some issues. And of course, we know the issues that are out there, but we're going to start with some good stuff. Guys, we have some great news. Kobe Bryant has been inducted into the Hall of Fame. He is officially nominated. He's officially going in. How do we feel? What's going on, guys? How do you feel, Pat? Feel good about that? You feel like, of course, it was warranted. Feel like it's enough?
Yeah, it's warranted. Of course, it was the first ballot. I like the fact that he is going in with KG and Tim Duncan, which I almost would make it bittersweet because you would like to see those three dudes just share war stories, you know, and, you know, at his acceptance speech for his, you know, Hall of Fame induction. But yeah, it's a really good day. You know, we saw a couple of the, you know, moments on Spectrum Sportsnet. You know, it kind of like relived his whole career pretty much. So, but yeah, it definitely worked.
Yeah, very cool. Mike, we know Kobe's just one of your favorite, all-time favorites. We all met on the Kobe tribute show that we had here, and you know, you had some really good care. What do you think? How does it feel now, you know, to have Kobe inducted, but of course he's not here to share it?
You know, it's great for it to be official. I want to give a big kudos to Vanessa. You know, she gave literally a one-minute interview. Like, the full interview was on Instagram. I still felt so bad for her, though. You know, you could just totally tell that she's still hurting. So, you know, major prayers out to her. And, you know, I'm happy he's able to go in, you know, with KG and Duncan. We can't forget him. Tamika, too. I mean, she was a great WNBA player as well. The coaches and all those other people, not so much, but, you know, that's my opinion. Yeah. But no, it's a great honor for Kobe.
Yeah, they're worth bringing up. Mike Andrade, share it. Again, big fan. You joined us on that show, our Kobe tribute. If you haven't seen that, guys, go on to YouTube and you can see the whole video. You know, Mike was very poignant. Mike Andrade, of course. So, you know, Mike, share with us a little bit how you're feeling about it.
Yeah, you know, it's bittersweet. You know, obviously, for a legend like Kobe Bryant to see his career come full circle into the NBA Hall of Fame. We all knew it was coming, you know, just a matter of when. And to see him going into the Hall of Fame, or to see him being announced for the Hall of Fame, is just, you know, it's heartwarming and it's totally deserved. One of the greatest of time. But it's just, you know, the fact that he won't be able to be there on that stage and share the war stories and you know, like what Shaq said, like to have like another jab at him, like I had five, you had four, those type of things. Just the fact that he won't be able to be there, it's bittersweet here to accept that Hall of Fame inductee and inductance. And but you know, in the end though, I mean, the guy, it's well deserved, and it's gonna be, I hope that at least like Vanessa and like the family can accept for him on that stage, and it'll be just as emotional watching that as it was like watching the memorial a month ago. So yeah, I'm excited to watch it. I'm excited to see what comes about.
That was a question actually that I had there, was going to say, you know, maybe with exception to the family, Money Mike, you know, who would you say is the most qualified to maybe accept that award on Kobe's behalf? Let's just say accept, you know, with, separate Vanessa and, you know, his kids. Who's the next person in line?
You know, I mean, maybe a crazy idea, man, you know, but I'm going to throw it out there. How about Kobe? And what I mean by that is, if you listen to, you know, I've gone through just my archives and watched some interviews with him. A lot of the stuff that he said, or you think that he probably would have said, kind of was already said, you know, in this point for the Hall of Fame speech. I think it would be completely awesome if all this technology and these TikTok and these editors around, if they could put together just his interviews and what how much the game meant to him, what he wanted to put into it, what he got out of it, his satisfaction, and his thank yous. And if they could put some video message, you know, put it all together, you know, I think that would be like an awesome thing, new and revolutionary. You know, I can tell you, it's funny, I was watching like Jimmy Kimmel about maybe 2 weeks ago, and they had, it was some news people, they were doing, the hip-hop, the hippity, they took every clip, and they literally had them doing a full Rapper to Light beat, you know what I mean, a song, to just multiple clips of them. So I think that, I know it's a crazy idea, but I think it would also be awesome if somebody actually put that together and just blended his message. Because you know his message is, you know what it's about, you know, and it'd be something different and revolutionary. I always think of something crazy, but
it's almost kind of like you want to do like the Coachella thing, like you get a hologram of Kobe up there.
I don't necessarily want a hologram though. The hologram thing, I'm not talking about there. But if you think about it, if you took like about, you know, put a video up and him thanking everybody, you hear him, you got him saying thank you, you got him saying what basketball meant to him, you got him saying what he wanted to get out of it. You know, that either that or the only other thing, I don't know about you guys, but what I've been doing is I've been Googling Kobe stories. You know, this they had the last one I heard was the one with Jordan, when Jordan said that when he played the Wizards, like the second to the last time, and Jordan said you can wear the shoes, but you can't be in the shoes. And then Kobe didn't talk to nobody for 2 weeks. and they were like, what's wrong? Did we make him mad? And only person that knew about was Fields, and no, Jordan told him this. I'm like, oh, okay. And then that's when he dropped 55 on him. So if they don't do my first idea, I would love to hear the you know, just different Kobe stories that they had. So
what do you think, Andrade? What do you think about who would accept if it wasn't Vanessa?
Maybe just a group of people, got a different Derek Fisher, Pau Gasol, Lamar Odom, having like different guys like that, different championship teammates of his come around like on stage and just like share the memories of him. They kind of did something similar, like they went the game that they did the tribute for him first, like game passed away. They kind of did something similar with his career. What was it? John Cho was playing the Coachella or the cello, right? Or the violin, whatever the big thing was. And they had Kobe kind of narrating like his career along with the music.
Right,
so they kind of did something similar to that the first game back. But I'd like to see something, you know, where if it's the family, then you can have some teammates of his come on stage and just share, you know, stories. And you know the stories that we all hear of what Kobe, who he was as a person and on the basketball floor and all that.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I agree that what was neatest about the memorial was hearing all the stories about Kobe and some of the stories that we had never heard, especially. Those were special, and it really made him feel human and a little bit closer. So I kind of like the acceptance by group or family policy being the players, the people that he's played with, that he's made better, that he's improved their lives, or that they've, you know, improved his lives, whatever the situation may be. But definitely in that lines as a group, because he's affected so many people, that's for sure. You know, one of the things I heard a story I was watching with all of this that, you know, Robert Horry had mentioned a story about how specific Phil Jackson was in regards to being on time and not being late during those years of the three-peat and such. And he mentioned a story in particular that, you know, Phil Jackson specifically said, if anyone's 5 minutes late to the bus, they're leaving. That's it. They're leaving. And on one particular day, all the players were in the bus, but none of the coaching staff was there. Phil Jackson wasn't there. The assistant coaches weren't there. None of the coaching staff was there. And Horry was the one that usually got the brunt of Phil Jackson, being that you're late, and he would usually yell at Horry. Horry was usually the latest. So, of course, he was the first one to step up and say, hey, no, this is bullshit. Sorry. Let's get going. Let's leave. That's their rule. 5 minutes. Let's go. So the bus leaves and they get to the practice facility, and there's the whole coaching staff waiting for him. And Phil Jackson had one question. Who's the one who said it was time to leave? And they all said Horry. And he looked down and was disappointed because he was hoping it wasn't Horry, but of course it was. So because Horry was the one that was always late. So he actually did that as a lesson to the guys to teach them. So that's just a classic Phil Jackson right there.
Yeah.
We lost Pat for a second, so hopefully he'll be back to join us here soon.
Yeah, and see, what's interesting to add to that story, Jeff, is that, you know, Horry thought as soon as Phil Jackson was the coach, that he thought he was going to be out of there because of the issue he had with Danny Ainge. So, you know, so that's what's interesting in that too.
Exactly. Okay, so let's move on. We've discussed the Kobe going into the Hall of Fame. One other interesting factoid that has come out of this lockdown and quarantine, and of course the suspension and or possible cancellation of the NBA season, is that you know, there are clauses in the player contracts that if something crazy like this was to happen, that they can go ahead and institute that clause and subtract money from the players' salaries. Now, one of the interesting parts of that is that there are contracts that are arranged, and they're called all-you-can-get contracts. What that means is that instead of being paid slowly throughout the year, these players have opted to receive 90% of their salary by April 1st. Now, there's only 20 of those contracts in the NBA, and it's incredibly interesting because right now those players receive their money 90% while other players are talking about getting pay cuts. Now, out of those 20 players, 9 of them are Rich Paul clients at Clutch Sports. Now, if that doesn't speak volumes about you know, who's playing chess and who's playing checkers, I don't know what does. Pat, I see you're laughing. I mean, he's just miles above everyone else, right?
Because, you know, and so that information is coming out now, but you can see why the NCAA is trying to stop this dude, because this dude is actually doing things like this now. And now it's become, before it was like, oh, everybody's going to get paid, so it really doesn't matter if everybody's getting paid on the first whatever. Now, everyone's like, I wished I had that Rich Paul deal, because right now people are like you said, if they want to go ahead and put that clause in and start taking away money, well, I mean, Rich Paul clients are going to be like, well, hey, it's not us. And so what's that's going to do for him once we actually get back to regular business? People are going to start jumping ship, and they're going to look and see, I want the Rich Paul deal, because he is actually, like you said, playing chess at this point in time. He is doing things that remember back in the day, the super agent David Falk, I mean, he had this big, he had Jordan, but he also had everybody else. Malcolm, you know, David Falk had everybody, right? And it was basically, you know, him having those clients, he was able to dictate how terms were going to be. Now, Rich Paul seems like he's the new super agent.
Yep.
And it's like you said, the fact that you were saying like it was 20 of these some contracts and just close to half of them are my one agent. Yeah, that speaks big volumes. And yes, and the NCAA is definitely scared. You could tell by that.
Yeah, I agree. I think he'll get a new flood of clients. I think he is the agent to be had. And I think if I was an athlete, I'd want to be represented by that. What do you think? And how do you feel, Andrade? How do you feel about the fact that he's so closely associated, and I mean closely associated now, I mean roots entangled with the Lakers, and he is somewhat the go-to agent at this time? How does that make you feel?
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's definitely good to have that guy on our side, right? You know, I think he has, like, well, of course he has LeBron, he has AD, he has Caldwell Pope, I believe.
Yep.
So all three of those guys might have that balloon payment. I think Kobe had something similar in his contract where he had like a balloon payment like that, where he had all his money up at, all at once. But definitely. I mean, this guy has close ties with the Lakers, so it's definitely bodes well for this guy to have, for us to have connections with him, and just makes us look like a superior franchise.
Yep.
You know, I mean, he rides on the bus with the guys anyways,
Right.
You know, kind of travels with the team. So he's pretty much a staff member, office member. He's, because let's be honest, I mean, like, as much as you want to think like Rob Pelinka is pulling the strings, it's more so LeBron. LeBron's pulling the strings right now. And I mean, there's a lot of trust in the front office between those parts, but LeBron and Rich Paul and his parts, they're kind of like running the show right now in terms of what they want.
Mm-hmm. Well, but what they're creating is a positive. So as long as you keep giving them some slack, what they're bringing is a positive. Money Mike, what do you think?
Just to that point, another angle, I implore everybody, if you guys haven't watched it, I watched it this weekend because, of course, I had nothing else to do. HBO has a documentary called The Scheme. And it talks about Christian Dawkins. I'm not sure if anybody knows who that is, but he was basically an agent. Long story short, he was negotiating deals for players in college all over, from LSU to Arizona to all the, North Carolina, the players, getting the money, doing things that, and by NCAA rules, are illegal. Long story short, it was a big old federal indictment, and they tapped his phone for 6 months, and they have audio of him talking to these major players, Rick Pitino's, and I forgot the name of Arizona's coach, and they have all this stuff. And they were trying to get him to go to jail for money laundering and wire fraud and all these souped up things, where it was just a matter of, hey, I'm just giving these guys some money. Where if they was in high school and didn't go to college, or if they were in the pros and I was giving them money to pay for service, it was perfectly fine. But because they're under the NCAA umbrella, they're not allowed. And it was a really interesting take on it, because he went through Adidas, who was giving LSU of $150 million, Nike giving $200 million, and all these big major sponsors that's paying off all these money to organizations, and the players aren't getting anything. You just see the whole, just how messed up and how it, things get infiltrated through the leagues, and then they get upset because they try to make the rule with Rich Paul and the Rich Paul rule, where you have to pass an agent test and you have to be able to have a college degree. All this is, and what's so great about Rich Paul is he's a threat to them because he's doing innovative things different from how everybody else does it. And anybody doesn't like that. People don't, everybody likes everything to be status quo. This is how it's supposed to be. It's an unwritten rule. And, I say kudos to him, because these people right now, they getting their money, and it's all good.
Now, talking about the status quo and everyone wanting everything to stay cool and so forth, you guys had tasked me with a homework assignment the last podcast, and I accomplished that homework assignment with a very long day today, 6 episodes.
I'm applauding.
Please let it be what I think it's going to be. Please let it be.
Yeah, I watched 6 straight episodes of Tiger King today to make sure I was prepared. I did my homework. And I watched it all from start to finish. I had already watched the first episode last week, and then I watched 2 through 7 today. All right. So, So there's definitely some, there's definitely some craziness out there.
And what's your best, Tiger?
That's my best,
Tiger King.
What's the best Tiger King moment of my best Tiger King?
No, the impersonation of that guy. What's his name?
Joe Exotic.
Joe Exotic. All I can say is there's going to be a lot. Of, I mean, if Halloween isn't canceled this year, there's going to be a ton of Tiger King costumes out there.
But you got but you got to it depends on what Tiger King, like Joe Exotic, like costume you want, though, because he had some fits. Like, he had like the regular one that you see him with, like him selling the show. And not, and my favorite one is my man when he's at the funeral. Like, do you see that hat? Bro, that hat was like, that's my favorite.
The priest collar, too.
Hopefully he did.
He puts on the priest collar when he's at the
funeral.
Dad, what's up with that?
Yes.
You cannot make any of this up. Like, it was just wild. I told you, Jeff. You see it, and you didn't even get to the music videos. And we got to the music videos. You looking like, what's going on?
What he's
dude, feeding, what's going on here, man?
The, this like dude, feeding the meat to the tiger.
So,
bro, hey, kitty, kitty.
Duh. Hey, you know what? Look. I gotta say kudos. I mean, you know, I thought Ronnie Lott was the man, but for his employee to be like, hey, we can save your arm, or and it's gonna be what, a year of rehab, or you can cut it off. You know, and she said, cut off. I got to go back to them Tigers. That is way more gangster than running a lot. It was just a thing.
Wouldn't have been me. Seriously. We going to get that rehab, and guess who's going to pay for it? Joe Exotic is going to pay for that while I chill and get my arm back. Because I literally went back and didn't have an arm, dude. Like, she's doing the interviews. It's like 2019, and she has no arm still. Like,
and it's not a single bit of sourness or nothing. She's like,
Like, I should put my arm in there. Like, I shouldn't have done that. Like, it was my fault. Like, no. And it, dude, like I said, there's so much stuff to unpack in that thing. I mean, the whole, what about homeboy, the doc? That guy over there. No, that's not right here. That, bro, I mean, he was like halfway sane, but he had the harem.
Given moment,
you know, he had the harem, right? And then he had like all the things. He was like, what is like some yoga dude?
Yeah,
like she was. I mean, it was kind of wild.
Okay, wait. Let me just ask you, Jeff.
Yeah,
was it worth it? Did you enjoy it?
It's a train wreck. It's a complete train wreck. I'll say I enjoyed it for the sake of the show, and I'll see how it settles in the next few days.
Okay. One more question.
Yeah.
Did she kill her husband?
Oh, she fed that dude to the lion. He's not in the septic tank, that's for sure. She fed that boy to the lion.
Yeah, she did that.
Oh yeah, she did that.
Yes,
every single time they ask her, she closes her eyes. She can't answer. She's like, "No, of course." And then she opens her eyes. She's like, "Nah."
No, hey. The funniest part when she was like, "You know, I mean, look at him. Like, if somebody really wanted to set him up, I mean, all they had to do was put sardine oil on him."
Yeah, sardine oil. Like, she knew that. That's like an OJ comment right now. Like, going, "Oh yeah, I know she did it, and you can trust."
Like, if I did it, like, she's gonna write a book. If I killed my wife, you know, like. Wow, she said, I mean, and I didn't, like, of all the oils that you can put on somebody's body,
she just throws it out.
Sardine oil specifically. I'm like, okay, well, then maybe you know a little bit about chewing up, you know.
Sorry to leave you out, Mike. Did you have an opportunity to watch it, Tiger King?
Andrade.
Yeah, Mike.
So I sat there and I think I watched it within like two days worth. I mean, it's one of those things that it's so bad that it turns into being good. And like, you just can't believe what you're watching, honestly. Like, first of all, like, just to take yourself into that kind of like environment where like guns are like everything to those people, you know, and just to see how crazy those people can get, and just the storylines involving his lovers, and then the Carol Baskin, and you know how she murdered her husband, and then you're going into Dr. I don't know how the hell you say his name, but his wives, and then all these different things, and it's just
what, like, is it, oh, a vagabond?
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Hey, look, I'm gonna tell y'all right now. My favorite part was when he was running for governor, though. Oh, that was it.
They're talking to the people that were actually voting for him. They're actually talking. Yeah. Well, he actually says what he means.
He got 19% of the vote. That's a pretty big margin. Like, for real? That's not a winning margin. No. But if you go for the first time with no event and no experience and get 19%, you think that you can have an opportunity to come back in two more years and change and have a platform.
It's almost a fifth of the vote. All right. Like, this one got a fifth of the vote.
I got a question. Right. Okay. I got two questions. You guys each have to answer two questions, okay?
All right.
We'll go around the room here. Number one, was Joe Exotic set up? Was Joe Exotic set up? And okay, guys, sorry. that's gotta be. There we go. Was Joe Exotic set up? And then which character are you going as for Halloween? Let's start it with Pat.
Okay, yes, Joe Exotic was set up. And you know what? Good you said that, because I didn't like the end of the series as much as I liked the beginning of it, because it almost felt like the train wreck was not going to have like this some kind of happy ending. Maybe he was set up, maybe he got out of it, maybe, you know what I'm saying? Like, it just felt like, damn, dude. I hate to be like this, but he was just so dumb to allow all of this to happen to him, that it was like almost start feeling sorry for the dude, even though he's like backward as all get out. I'm just thinking, like, you know, he just was like taken advantage of, but you know, and you know, and I was just like, okay, there was some smarter people in the room that actually duped him into a lot of those things that he was getting into, and you know, but yeah, I think he would set up. But my Halloween, you know, if I was going to be the Halloween character, yeah, it would definitely be the girl with the arm off. That would just be like, yeah, I think that would be the one right there, dude.
All right, let's go to Andrade. Andrade, set up, and who's your Halloween costume?
Of course he was set up, but damn it. I mean, like, he deserved to go to jail. I mean, to prison. I mean, it was set up, but I mean, Jesus Christ. Like, he definitely did try to, like, have Carol Baskin murdered, so he definitely deserved to be in prison. So, I believe he was set up, but, I mean, yeah, they all deserve to be in prison, to be honest.
Yeah, they're
scary. You know, I think I'll try to get, like, one of those inflatable elephants. Like, where, like, your legs are inflatable, and then I'll be a doctor. Yeah.
Riding the elephant everywhere you go. That's perfect.
Exactly.
I love it. Like, it's your own little master. That's beautiful. Okay, exactly. Money Mike, set up or what?
Hey, he absolutely was set up, because I think at some point in time, they realized they had to get this dude out the way, and they wanted to take over the land, so they just basically did a coup with just way more smarter people, because he was so caught up in himself, he could not get out the way and realize what was going on, you know? And he should have known as soon as they told him, yo, I've been getting calls about you, he should have clicked in his mind, instead of running, he should have tried to find out what is going on. What do they try to have on him? And so, yeah, I just think he just got in his own way. But he, who would I be? I forgot the guy's name, but the informant, Chucky, the one that looks like Chucky.
Oh, geez. The heavy set guy.
Yeah, the heavy set guy, the one that looks like Chucky. Oh, I would want to be him, because, you know, they would know Only people that would know who I was if they watched that show.
Yeah.
All right. It wouldn't be obvious.
That dude was the worst.
Yeah, but let me just say this. Robert Lowe, he said that there's one more episode that's coming.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
So he's definitely set up. There's no question about it. And if I'm going as anyone for Halloween, I'm going out as his first husband. Missing all the teeth. I'm going to put some fake tattoos. Gosh. I'm going to take some
the one that's not gay.
Okay. Bro.
So, Jeff, you have to get the tattoo down there.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, he had it replaced with the bull. With the bull's head or whatever.
So. Okay.
Yeah.
He had it like covered up, but it was still sticking out the sides. I'm like, bro, y'all, this is what y'all doing in Oklahoma, dude. I'm like, this is the quality of tattooing that we got down here, dude. I'm serious. I was like, yo, but I still see it. Yeah, I still see, like, anxiety. I can still see the X. You know, I'm like, okay, like, so, but another thing is, like, every time you saw that character, like, there was, like, a teeth missing. Like, the dude had, like, over, like,
going down,
like, you know, 5 years, right? So every time you saw him, there was, like, a tooth missing. Like, at the end of the show, I was like, oh, he's still doing it. Like, he's still on that stuff. Yeah. Like, I was really surprised. I was surprised. Like, man, you talking all this stuff about a man, you know, Joe. And, bro, you got to put the meth down, man. You really do. You really do.
That's definitely who I'm going as. So that would be great.
Awesome.
There'll be plenty of Carol Baskins out there, too, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely.
All you cool cats and kittens.
Yeah, we're locking the cats and everything. All right, guys. Well, thank you guys so much. All right, Money Mike, Stat Pat, and our special guest tonight, Mike Andrade. Thank you for taking part in tonight's podcast. As usual, guys, you know where to find us at the Profanity Nation. To everyone, stay safe, stay clean, stay healthy, wash your hands.
Wash your hands.
Stay nasty. Stay inside. All right. To everyone, have a great night. Thank you. Look for us next week.
Later. Bye. Peace. All right. I'm glad you did your homework, Jeff.
Be sure to follow us on Instagram at The Profanity Nation to keep up on LA sports and breaking news. And check in online at theprofanitynation.com. Thank you.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.